Okay, welcome to today's podcast. With me is my regular co-host, Rabbi Shimon Felix, who's been a prominent educator in Israel and abroad, is now the director of an Israeli tour company called RIL Regarding Israel. Mitchell Barak, who's also going to be a regular on the podcast, is not here with us, but hopefully he'll be rejoining us for our next podcast. The first topic is Israeli elections, which everyone knows by now have been called by our prime minister. Just a few weeks ago, the prime minister said he could not call elections because of the delicate security situation. And then basically the prosecution's office announced that they had adopted the recommendation of the police with regard to two serious separate charges against the prime minister, both involving allegations of bribery. And practically the next day, Netanyahu decided to call elections. The impetus was obviously the fact that he didn't want to be a kind of lame duck prime minister. In other words, he either wanted to postpone the indictment against him or be elected as prime minister once again and then stare down the attorney general, in effect daring him to indict him while he has all the privileges and leverages of power. There's no law compelling the prime minister or any cabinet minister to resign if indicted. The Supreme Court of Israel has ruled that, however, the cabinet minister, it was in this case Aryeh Deri, they basically forced him to resign on the grounds that it wasn't proper for an elected official of his stature to continue in office while under indictment. We're not going to analyze that today, but I want to speak about and ask Rabbi Felix what he thinks about. Netanyahu's made a lot of attacks against the police, his hand-picked head of police, who's now finished his term. He's attacked, in effect, the attorney general. He's now made a series of videos. Again, basically implicitly attacking the attorney general and saying that it's completely unfair for him to be indicted subject to a hearing before the election. Israel Today, the BBTron, the newspaper that's put out by Sheldon Adelson, went so far as to say that if the attorney general did such a thing, he would suffer heavy consequences, and attributed those threats to the prime minister. Several hours later, a short time that day, the story was changed to members of the Likud, but it doesn't seem to be any doubt where the story emanated from. I'm wondering, Shimon, how do you feel about Netanyahu's his videos? The statements from his office, is just all fair comment on his part? He's just defending himself? Or do you think that there's any threat to institutions and democracy in Israel?
Well, my gut reaction is very negative. It looks to me and it feels to me as if, as you say, there are real threats here to the press, the freedom of the press, to the way that the Attorney General and his office is supposed to work, or the way the police is supposed to work. So it seems to me that real, very important institutions of Israel's democracy and civil society are under attack in a pretty unreasonable way. The sort of the fly in the ointment is, I don't know, maybe he thinks he's really innocent. It's tricky because we do have this, and this has come to bite us in a lot of times recently, on a lot of occasions recently, this innocent until proven guilty business. The Supreme Court Justice, whose name Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh, who I thought behaved ridiculously at his hearings, that final last day was, I thought, well over the top. And yet, when people say, well, you are innocent until proven guilty and you're allowed to defend yourself, they have a point. And so I'm a little bit torn, I'm a little ambivalent, but Netanyahu's attempts to defend himself and say that he's right really don't necessitate attacking the institutions of the press and the police and the attorney general and the judiciary, etc. So I come down on the side of, I don't like it. I don't like the way Netanyahu, and I think even worse, his enablers and his defenders and his messengers, I mean, some of the stuff they're saying is ridiculous. And this brings me to one more point I'd like to make, how we really are seeing how much of a global village we live in. I mean, the imitation of Trump's behavior and the behavior of his miserable enablers is really disheartening. He really has let a kind of cat out of the bag. He's opened a kind of Pandora's box where, when in doubt, attack these very important institutions in unreasonable ways. There's a lot wrong with the press. Every time I've ever read a newspaper or online story about something that I really knew about personally, someone I knew, so there were mistakes. So there's always something to complain about or to point out, to critique. But the language is really a language of attacking the rights of these institutions to do their job, which is totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. So it's sad that Trump's reach is apparently a very long reach. And here in the Middle East, we're seeing Trump, like we have seen for a while now, Trump-like behavior on the part of quite a few people. And sadly, on the left as well, I'll throw in a quick reference to the way Avi Gapai fired, we'll talk about it later, but just I'll preempt it very briefly, the way he fired Tzipi Livni, whatever you think of all of those people, ridiculous behavior that I think is rooted in Trumpian behavior.
Before
we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, but that's going to be the subject of our next segment. I just wanted to basically finish up on this segment, the two things that I'll add on that have I found slightly disturbing. The fact that no one in the coalition, Netanyahu's coalition, has said, wait a minute, about these attacks on the attorney general and the prosecution's office and the police and the media. This is too much. You've crossed the line here. Everyone's saying, you know, basically they're terrified or afraid of the coming elections. No one wants to put a foot out of place, and why take the chance? But that's extremely disheartening. Netanyahu, you can say he's trying to save himself. All is fair in love and war and politics. But the people who you say are enabling him, and those are also people in his coalition, I find that somewhat distressing. And I also find the fact that despite these are really, really serious charges, so far what's come out about Trump, at least the hard evidence, is dwarfed by this. You know, in one case, talking about the Bezek case, the owners of Bezek stood to make the deal that Netanyahu okayed for them, which is if you give me favorable coverage, I'll give you regulatory approval of a deal which was worth in the neighborhood to them of a billion shekels. I mean, that's what was at stake. And in another case of the Idiot case, basically taking the Bibitron, Sheldon Adelson's free newspaper, off the stands so that the owner of Idiot, Idiot Achronot could start making a profit again. That was also a pretty big deal. So those are disturbing things, and the sort of lack of pushback also in Israeli society. You look at the polls now, which are admittedly very early, but you see maybe the Likud losing a couple of seats, maybe gaining the same amount of seats. So their voters are intact. No one seems to be fazed for that. So I find that somewhat disturbing.